Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. What a blessing it is to sense the presence of the Lord in this place. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would look with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Message and song goes right along with what we're going to be reading here this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to read starting in verse 1 and read down to verse 11. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5. The Bible says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by restraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you this morning, it is a blessing, Lord, to be able to assemble ourselves together in your name. Lord, it's a blessing to sense your presence in this place. We've already received much of a blessing that you have prepared for us. But Father, now as we get into the preaching and the teaching of thy word, we know, God, that you have a truth and a help for each one that's here through this passage of Scripture. I pray that you would, Lord God, give each one that ear to hear what you have for them today. And I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message from your word to your people. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I believe that most would agree that all around the world, people, humanity, are struggling today. The world is filled with suffering, sorrow, and many are without hope of seeing it come to an end. Even in the United States of America, we are experiencing much of that here in our own country. And the question I want to ask you this morning, and I think it'd go along with the message I'm going to be preaching, is who or what is to blame? Many want to blame God, or they question whether God really exists, whether or not, if there is a God, then does he really care? But then, as we understand the mentality of humanity and we see what all goes on around the world, let me ask you the question, if we as a people, if humanity, if we reject God and become a godless society, who's to blame? If we fail to take heed to God's warnings and then experience the consequences of sin, who's to blame? If we fail to live by God's commandments, especially as Jesus broke them down into two and saying we are to love God and then to love our neighbors or other people. And then we experience a world filled with terrorism, rape and murder, and a number of other sins against humanity. The question I want to ask this morning that goes right along with the passage of Scripture we read is who's to blame? When we look at the Bible, we know the Bible is God's love letter to mankind. We've had the full revelation of it for some 2,000 years on this earth. Jesus came as the Word, became flesh, and dwelt among us. He explained everything about the purpose of the Old Testament, and he gave full revelation concerning this New Testament church age, which we've been in for some 2,000 years. He gave full revelation of how this church age would come to an end in the rapture of the church, and there would be a tribulation period. He gave us insight into eternity, future. We're studying that on Sunday nights as we're going through the book of Revelation. It's been a tremendous study in the book of Revelation. But God has revealed it to us. God has told us who the enemy is. And he also has told us what we are to do about it. In chapter 5, Peter writes to believers that were suffering and going through a lot of trials and all that. And what he tells them is what God has for all of us, has revealed it to us, that we need the feeding of the Word of God. And he has given us pastors, and we preached on that a couple of weeks ago. But he's given us established a church, and through the church we're to assemble ourselves together to acknowledge God and to worship him and to be fed the very words of God, to be fed the messages that God would have for his people. And God calls those that do that under shepherds, and he says when the chief shepherd does return, and he has revealed to us that he's going to return, then he's going to give a crown and he's going to be blessings. But during this time, during this church age, we find that God has revealed to us who the enemy is and what is to be done about it. And it starts out with telling them to feed the flock of God. Let the people who have a desire to know me have the words of truth. Give them, preach to them the very truths that I have preserved for you. And then he tells the people, as you're receiving the words of God, you need to humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and allow God to work in your life and exalt you in due time. He tells us to cast all your care upon him. Just make sure that you have a prayer life. Make sure that you have a fellowship with God. And no matter what you're going through, no matter what's taking place, understand that there is a God that you can communicate with. Amen. Who can do whatever needs to be done to make sure that your needs are taken care of. Amen. And that you have this peace that passes all understanding. That you have joy even in the midst of the storms. And then he also says that we are to resist the enemy. He says, and resist steadfastly in the faith. Resist steadfastly in the faith. The adversary. God's told us who the enemy is. It's the adversary. It's the devil. He's real. Not seeing him with our eyes, but you can see the effects of his presence. The adversary, the definition is an opponent. One who strives against us. And if you will, an enemy. So with all the things that we're faced with in society today in the world, and God reveals to us that who the enemy is, and he tells us what to do, if we're not doing what God says to do, who's to blame? What most people are doing today that's led to the demise that we see around the world. When we should be acknowledging that there is an enemy and Satan is the enemy, and when we should be resisting the adversary, many are blinded by his existence. And if we are blinded by the existence of an adversary, which is very powerful, who is as a roaring lion, who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If we don't take heed to understanding that we do have that adversary today around the world, he is the enemy. If we are blinded to his existence, thus there is no need for faith. Because we only can resist him in the faith. In the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, and this is a very well-known passage of scripture to many, when it's revealing that Satan is very much alive and well today, he says in chapter 4 in verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world," the Bible reveals that Satan, the adversary, is actually the small letter G, God of this world, "and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Most of the world today, what are we doing? They're not resisting the devil. They're not resisting the adversary in the faith. They have been blinded by Satan to even see the need for faith. Not that we don't have vision, but our vision is blocked out. Most know when you're driving a car that as you're driving a car and you're looking to change lanes, there's something called a blind spot. And they put something on the car to help us with that. I try to get my wife to realize that's why they're there. They're called mirrors. And a safe driver learns how to use their mirrors. Amen? You look in the mirror to see what's behind. You look in the side mirrors to be able to reveal to you something that you couldn't see outside of a mirror. And so when you're driving, if you go into the passing lane and only give a quick look, and there's a car there, and you crash into that car, who's to blame? Not the car that you crashed into, because he's in his own lane. But he is in what you might call a blind spot. And if you're not using what's been put on the vehicle to help you to see what you can't see on your own, and you pull into that lane, into that car, without using the mirror that was put there to help you with that blind spot, who's to blame when you crash into that car? And can I tell you that Satan is blinding the minds of humanity today to his existence? And if we don't believe in a literal hell, if we don't believe in a literal devil and demonic activity, a spiritual kingdom that has spiritual implications in our lives, every day of our lives, if we are blinded to the need of, to the reality of Satan's existence, then why would we want to have to do what it takes to learn of the faith that will help us to resist him? You won't. If you don't believe in spiritual warfare, if you don't believe that Satan is real, then you will not commit yourself to doing what you need to do to be able to defeat and resist and defeat the devil. So thus, what many are doing today are ignoring the fact that God's warned us about spiritual warfare. And thus, there's no need to be fed the Word of God. There's no real need to be in church when the church doors are open. There's no real need to study the Bible. There's no need to use the mirror if you don't believe there's a blind spot. Paul in Acts in chapter 26, he reveals what he was called to do, as every born-again believer is called to help people to understand the truths of the Word of God, especially every God-called minister, every God-called preacher. The Bible says in Acts in chapter 26, as Paul is revealing what Jesus called him to do, he says in verse 18, to open their eyes. Now, was Paul saying that what he needed to do is give, that they were blind, that they couldn't see? No, they had vision. They had eyes, but they were not seeing. Paul says, he's called me to open the eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's what Jesus told him to do. People are blinded to the reality of spiritual warfare. They're blinded to how Satan works. And the Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. But you have to study the Scriptures to learn how he works. You have to study the Scriptures and strengthen your faith to be able to do what God says to do. And that's resist the adversary. But most are not resisting. Most are being blinded to his existence. The second thing we find that God tells us to do that most are not doing, and who's to blame when things happen that are happening around the world and things that are happening in your life, when you do something because you haven't used what God told you to use and Satan gets a victory in your life, who's to blame? Now, if they do believe in God, you say, well, I'm not blinded to the fact, the reality of Jesus Christ being the Savior. I'm not blinded to the fact that there is spiritual warfare. Can I tell you a second thing that will take place, especially if he has not got the victory in your life through blinding you to his existence? What he'll do is work through the world so that you will be taught by the world's philosophies. What we should be doing is being fed the Word of God. But instead of listening to God, as the Bible reveals that God has established pastors and God has established those who will go out and preach the Word of God so that the people might be fed the truths of God's Word. So instead of being under the teaching of the Word of God and being under the preaching of the Word of God, we are allowing the world to influence us more than the Word of God. Most of humanity around the world, that's exactly what's taken place. If they do believe in a God and believe in a creator God, believe in a Savior, Satan then will try to attack them by turning them to the philosophies of the world or the ways of the world to be taught and influenced on how to live their lives. Our faith to resist the adversary must be based upon God's Word. If you have your faith based on what the devil wants you to base your faith on, then you cannot resist the devil. Can I tell you that Satan is the god of the world? And the world is blinded to spiritual truth. And that's why the Bible tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because it's not of God. Because Satan is actually the small letter G god of the world. And if the world is blinded, and then we look to the world for instruction, we look to the world for what the world's take on religion, we look to the world for the world's take on what's acceptable philosophy for life, and we run into the problems we run into, and we have living the situations we're living in today, who's to blame? In Luke in chapter 6, I believe Jesus addressed this when he said this. Let me just read it to you. In Luke in chapter 6 and verse 39, just a short little parable that he gives in verse 39 of Luke in chapter 6. He says in Luke 6:39, and he spake a parable unto them. This is a parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? If you're blind, you're not looking to find somebody else's blind to help lead you through the world. You look for somebody who has vision. Amen. You look for somebody who can see to help you to become your eyes. But if the blind are being led by the blind. Jesus says in the parable, when the blind lead the blind, they're going to fall into the ditch. When humanity, those that do get by, that those that overcome this blinders that Satan might put on them concerning the reality of God and the reality of Jesus Christ, those that possibly are in church, I would go as far as even saying those that are possibly in independent fundamental Baptist churches. They're saved. They've seen the light. They've seen that Jesus is a Savior. And they've received Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. And they are saved. But they're not doing what God tells a saved man to do and grow in their faith. And they are allowing the world to influence them more than the church. They're allowing the world to influence them more than the very words of God. And they are looking to the world concerning what is politically correct. And they're looking to the world concerning the world's take on religion and philosophy of life and morality. Whatever it might be, listen to me, if the blind are being led by the blind, if we are looking to the world to determine what is right and wrong and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, listen to me, we're going to fall into a ditch. That's right. Can I tell you that many are already in the ditch? And we're experiencing all kind of sorrow, and we're experiencing all kind of suffering, experiencing all kind of a loss of a peace and loss of joy. Who's responsible for that? Who's to blame? It's easy to blame God. Well, God shouldn't have, if God loved me, he wouldn't let this happen. If this and that and this and what. God did love us, does love us. He's proven it through Christ. He has preserved his word. And in his word, he tells us who the enemy is. And he tells us what we ought to be doing to combat the enemy. If we are not doing that, who's to blame? Yeah, they're blinded by the devil. Possibly being taught or influenced by the world. And the last thing, you say, well, you know, I've gotten over that word. I'm not letting the world determine how I'm going to worship. I'm not letting the world determine what I know to be right and wrong. You've not given in to that. You realize that the world does not have the truth. The Word of God is the truth.
Amen.
And we're still suffering. I'm not blinded to God. I'm not blinded to the gospel. I'm not blinded to the world's philosophies. What else will Satan do? Well, the Bible says what God would have us to do, if you're not blinded and you're saved, and you know that we have the words of God, you're being fed the Word of God, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That is staying close to Him, yielding to His will. When you're walking close to God, you can sense His presence and you know He cares. And you're in sweet fellowship with Him. But many are not doing that. Many are not taking things to the Lord in prayer. Many saved. Many in church. Why is that? Instead of yielding to God's will, they're yielding to the other tactic that Satan has. They're yielding to the flesh. They're yielding to what I want to call this morning the enemy from within. You know what's going to keep you from believing that God cares, and what's going to keep you from having a daily close relationship with God where you go to the Lord in prayer and you confess your sins and you ask for forgiveness of sins and you make sure that you're walking in close fellowship with God? The enemy within. Can I tell you what I struggle with as a pastor? More so than being blinded. I'm not blinded to Satan. I know exactly. I know how he works. The Bible, I know what the Bible tells me about Satan and his tactics. I know how Satan works. Can I tell you, I know how the world has been deceived and how the world has been blinded and how the world is not giving us the truth that we need to have. I know the truth comes from the Bible. I know that the truth comes from the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. I understand that. But even as a pastor, can I tell you, my battles come from the enemy within. If I don't stay on top of this old sinful nature, if I don't realize that there is an enemy that's within me, I'll fall. And my fall, because I am more accountable to God because of what God has given to me and the position that He has placed me in, the fall will be devastating. The fall out will be devastating. If you, as a husband and a father, if you fall, it will affect more than just you. It will affect your wife. It will affect your family. It will affect generations to follow. If you fall out as a Christian wife and mother, it's going to affect more than you. It will affect your husband. It will affect your children. It will affect your testimony in life. Listen to me. Satan wants to, if he can't get you through blinding you to the truth of Jesus Christ, keeping you from ever receiving Christ as your Savior, if he cannot blind you through trying to influence you more by the world than by the Word of God, listen to me, what Satan will do and what God has warned us about and told us to stay close to Him and always casting our care upon Him and walking close to Him, Satan will try to defeat you through the enemy from within yourself. And every one of us have it. Satan as a part of me in this old nature. I have a new nature, and praise the Lord for that. When I got saved, Jesus came in. And I have a new nature, but I have to yield to it. And my old nature is always present. The enemy within me is always present. If I'm not on top of it, it will defeat me. It will take me down a path of destruction. Many today, they're in good churches, have defeated the devil in having the blinders removed, have defeated the Satan in not being influenced by the world. You know the truth. But many today are yielding to the enemy within. It's told of the Grecian army trying to destroy the city of Troy. And they threw everything and could not get through the walled city of Troy. And so since they couldn't physically destroy it, they faked a retreat and left for the Trojans a gift, which would look good on inside the city. And this Trojan horse that was created for them was very tempting to them, because this would symbolize victory over the Grecian army. And pride allowed them to take this Trojan horse through the city. Safety of the walls. What they didn't know is there was an enemy within. When they let the enemy in, the enemy destroyed the city. If the inside is not what it should be, who's to blame? Yeah, you might want to blame your husband. You might want to blame your wife. You might want to blame your children. You might want to blame your parents. Satan will always give you somebody to blame. But when we know who the enemy is, and we know what we are to do to defeat the enemy, and we don't, who truly is to blame? Blinded by the devil? Taught by the world? Or yielded to the flesh? Who's to blame? In closing this morning, think about this. If you were to open your eyes after dying and find yourself in a devil's hell, who's to blame? It's not God. It's not your parents. It's you. God has told us who the enemy is and what to do about it. This morning, let me ask you, what are you doing about it? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Who's to blame? I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what kind of battles you're fighting. I don't know what kind of sorrow and pain and suffering. I know worldwide we have it. But who's to blame? Do you truly know who the enemy is? And are you truly doing what God tells us to do to defeat him? If not, won't you come this morning? Won't you get the victory? Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Don't be blinded to your need for salvation. Are you allowing the world to influence you more than the words of God? Are you blinded to the enemy within? In Christ, we can overcome all three. Resist the devil in the faith. Father, we love you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the truth this morning that we have received. And I pray, God, that you'd help each one to know how they are to apply this truth to their own lives, to their own circumstances. And God, if they need to make decisions, I pray that during this invitation they would come and, Lord, do what you would have them to do to be able to get the victory that you have for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.